Please turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 10 in the New Testament. Gospel according to Mark, chapter 10, verses 14 and 15. Mark, chapter 10, verses 14 and 15. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And our subject this morning is receiving Christ like a child. Receiving Christ like a child. Well, we come this morning to consider these words before us, which are, of course, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And we find in this chapter, or in this particular portion of the chapter, that the Lord is responding to something that his disciples are doing, and they are doing something that he is not pleased with. The disciples are preventing little children from coming to him. This is the context of the passage, and we read that in verse 13. They brought young children to him that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. So there were people coming to the Lord Jesus not just for healings, not just to hear his word. Some were clearly bringing their children, their little children, to the Lord. And it was not unusual for the Jews of that time to bring their children to men who were esteemed holy men or pious men, that they may be blessed in some way, or that they may be known to these men in some way. It was quite common that little children would be brought to highly esteemed men and teachers and rabbis. But as we read, the disciples are not very happy with this. They are rebuking those who are bringing their children to the Lord. They are, in other words, telling them off. They are discouraging them. But the Lord is not happy with what the disciples were doing. When Jesus saw it, he was much displeased. And so he says to them in verse 14, Suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. And these words, well, they're very well known. Sometimes they are not very well understood. What does that mean? Suffer the little children to come unto me. Some people, well, they have the wrong understanding of these words. Some people think that these words mean that we should always literally just suffer little children, as though children are always badly behaved. And if you're in the presence of children, well, then you just have to suffer it and you have to put up with it. Is that the meaning of these words? No, of course not. It doesn't mean that. In fact, the Lord really, he is teaching the disciples a very important principle. And what he is saying is that nobody is excluded from coming to the Lord. That is really the principle that is being communicated here. Nobody is excluded from coming to the Lord, not even little children. Little children in the society of the day, they were not very important. Nowadays, of course, modern society, it seems, is centered around children or young people. But in the society of the day, children were not significant. Children were not important. You wouldn't bother yourself with children unless they were your own children, or else they were royalty or something like that. But little children, they were insignificant, and perhaps this is the reason why the disciples are turning them away. What would the Lord Jesus have to do with a little child. Children are not important. What are they going to say to the Lord? How are they going to interact with this great man, with this rabbi? They shouldn't be bothering the Lord. They shouldn't be wasting his time. And so the disciples are turning them away because children, generally speaking, were not important. They were the least significant people in society. But of course, the message of the gospel is this, that even the least significant people in society can come to the Lord. They can draw near to the Lord. They can know the Lord. They can be saved. Anybody can be. Little children, those who are rejected from society, those who are outcasts, those who are ignored by everybody else, those that nobody else likes, they can come to the Lord. So the Lord really is teaching this principle. Suffer the little children, even they can come to me. Don't turn them away, don't turn anybody away. Suffer the little children to come unto me. This is the nature of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the heart of Christ. It's the nature of the gospel message. It's extended to everyone without any discrimination. That is what the Lord is teaching his disciples. Don't discriminate. Don't turn anybody away. Let them all come, including these children. But then, of course, the Lord Jesus goes on to say that children and little children particularly, well, there is something particularly special about them. In verse 15, verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And this is, well, it's really a remarkable statement. This statement is, well, it has great weight whenever a verse begins, verily I say unto you. This means that this is something that we ought to take particular attention to and pay very particular attention to. This is very important. It is something that is foundational. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. Well, what is the Lord saying here? Except we receive the kingdom of God as a little child, we cannot enter therein. This is truly remarkable. We must observe children. There is something in children that is unique, something in children that is lost in adults. But when you observe them, well, it teaches us something. It teaches us how we are to approach the Lord, how we are to enter into the kingdom of God. This is really the teaching of this verse. And so we must learn from these things. Otherwise, we will not enter into the kingdom of God. These words are so very important. You know, there is a verse fairly similar to this one that we all know in the Gospel according to John chapter 3, when the Lord says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And we know that verse very well. Well, this verse is on the same level. It's saying, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, it's just as important, he shall not enter therein. And so this, for our purposes this morning, this is something that we ought to take very seriously. And let us try to understand the meaning, the great meaning of this verse. Now, before we look at it in detail, let me just clear up any wrong teaching about this verse when we read this. Whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child. It doesn't mean that you must come to the Lord while you are a child. It's not teaching that, and really I've already explained this. It's not teaching that if you don't have faith as a little child, if you don't come to the Lord as a youngster, you will never be saved. It's not saying that adults cannot be Christian. Of course they can. It's never too late to turn to the Lord, no matter how old you are. But there is a way. This is what is being taught here. There is a way, there is a manner in which we must come to the Lord. And this is what we learn from little children. There is a right way to approach God. So let me begin by giving you the first of my headings, and hopefully this will help to explain the verse in greater measure. So how do we interpret these words? Whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. Well, first of all, this is teaching us if we are to draw near to the Lord, we must be teachable. We must be teachable. A little child is teachable, of course. They are at the age of learning, and they have to be teachable because they have no previous knowledge to fall back on. They, in a sense, don't really know anything about anything, and so they are teachable, and they are willing to learn. They are willing to be taught, and they take in the things that they are taught. They sometimes don't look as if they are taking things in, but they are. They have minds, they have brains that absorb teaching. Everything they are told, they absorb it. And they are very much, when you observe little children, it's a great characteristic of little children that they are teachable. And so, well, that's the first application, very simply. If we are to draw near to the Lord, we too must be teachable. We must be teachable. Now, I say this because sometimes people come into a church and they are not teachable at all. They are, in fact, determined not to learn anything from the preacher, from the hymns that we sing, from the prayers that we offer up. It's like they say to themselves, well, I'm not going to learn anything. This church is not going to teach me anything. This pastor is not going to teach me anything, as if they know everything already. What is this pastor going to, what is this word of God going to teach me? They are not teachable. Someone like that, well, of course, they will not enter into the kingdom of God. Somebody who comes thinking they know it all, somebody who comes thinking, well, this is a waste of time, you are not teachable. You will not enter into the kingdom of God. You must be teachable, dear friends. You must come. You must be willing to be taught of the Lord. You must come to the Lord as though you know nothing if you want to truly be saved. This is how you come. You come to the Lord as though you know nothing at all, because in a sense, you don't know anything at all. When we know the Lord, well, then it is really the beginning of wisdom, as we read in the Word of God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Before you know the Lord, you don't have any wisdom. And we learn also in the Word of God that in Christ Jesus lie all the promises and all the knowledge that we need to be saved. But you don't know those things if you don't come to the Lord, if you are not teachable. You don't know what it is to have spiritual life. You don't know what it is to know God. You don't know what it is to receive His grace and His mercy and His love. You don't know anything about these things. And so you must be teachable. You don't know anything about the world. The best assessment of the world is not by watching YouTube or media channels or anything on TV. If you want to get the best assessment of what the world is truly like, you have to read the Word of God. Otherwise, you don't really know anything about the world. It's the Word of God that gives us that true understanding and that true assessment of what the world is truly like, of what man is truly like. What is man? Why is man like this? Why is man in such a state and condition? You don't know these things, of course you don't, unless you make yourself teachable and you are taught from the Word of God. You'll never know anything about the world, about man, about yourself. Again, if you don't know the Lord, I say this very often, if you don't know the Lord, you don't really know yourself. You don't know your creator, and so therefore you don't know yourself. You don't know the reason why you have been created. You don't know the meaning of your life. You're just wandering from one thing to the other, just going along with the crowd who are equally as clueless as you are. You don't know these things. And yet it is so foolish people come in to this place or into any church thinking, I know everything. I'm not going to take anything from the Word of God. It's they themselves who don't know anything. And they are remaining ignorant because they refuse to be taught. They are not teachable. Dear friends, how is it with you? Are you teachable? Do you know about these things? Do you know where you are heading after this life? Again, people in the world, unbelievers, they don't know where they're going. They don't know about eternity, about what happens after this life, after death. You don't know these things. So in order to enter into the kingdom of God, we have to change. We have to be teachable. As a little child is teachable, well, this is how we must approach the Lord. Otherwise, we will never know him. We will never truly be saved. So this is part of what it means. So I hope it's starting to make sense. Whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, willing to learn, teachable, he shall not enter therein. But secondly, children are trusting. Little children are trusting. They are quick to put their trust in somebody. Little children are not yet at the age of skepticism. They're not suspicious or doubt. Generally speaking, they trust what they see. They trust what they are told. Now, this is not always a good thing, of course, because in the world in which we live, one of the first things we teach children is, you can't trust everyone. You can't trust strangers. Don't trust strangers. Don't we live in a world where we have to teach our children this, because we live in a dangerous world. We live in a sinful world. And so we have to teach our children, you can't trust everyone. But by the way, when we teach children this, or when we teach anybody this, really we are confirming the truth of the Bible. The Bible teaches that we are all sinners, every single one of us, that this world is sinful. And when we teach children not to speak to strangers, well, really we're confirming the truth of the Word of God. We all know that men are sinful. You shouldn't speak to strangers because this is a sinful world. If we all had good hearts, like people like to think, if everybody is good-hearted, really, and we all have a good nature, well, what would be wrong in speaking to strangers? There wouldn't be anything wrong. If we're all really good at heart, if there are no sinners, well, surely you can speak to everyone. But we don't teach that. We teach you shouldn't speak to strangers. You have to beware. You have to lock your doors, because we know that the world is sinful. The Bible is true. We are all sinners, and the evidence is all around us. Well, even in children, the evidence of sin is there. Now, this verse, unless I've misled you, this verse is not saying that children are sinless. It's saying that we can learn from children how to approach God, but it's not saying that children are sinless. Children, well, you can see sin even in children, even in little children. Children, well, before too long, they will begin lying. They will begin telling lies. They will begin stealing. They will begin getting angry without a cause. They will begin coveting. Thou shalt not covet, says the 10th commandment. How often children covet. They see something that another child has, they want it. There is evidence of sin even in children, because again, the Bible is true. We are born sinners. This is our nature. We are born sinners. And as we get older, well, it only gets worse. As we grow into adulthood, our sins get worse. And you soon realize that, well, You can't trust anyone around you, but it's also true that you can't really trust yourself all the time. So, dear friends, this is what is being taught here. But one thing you can trust. Who can we trust then in this sinful world? Well, we can trust the Lord. You can trust the word of God. God is not a man that he should lie to us. His word is true from the beginning. The Lord Jesus said, all those who hear his voice are on the side of truth. So you can trust his word. So, dear friends, this is what I'm trying to say to you. This is the point I'm trying to make, that when we come to the Lord, we must trust, because we can trust the word of God. It is true, it is pure, it is not corrupted by man. And so, do you trust the word? It is so sad that nowadays people seem to put their trust in everything else. People will believe everything else that they are told by the media, by education. Whenever a scientist opens his mouth, they are so willing to believe it. And yet, when we come to the Word of God, there is so much skepticism. There is so much doubt. Why is it only for the Word of God? We believe everything else, and yet the Word of God, no, we don't really believe this. We won't trust this. Even all the other religions, people are not skeptical of them, but when it comes to the Word of God, well, this is a different thing. Well, this is a measure of our sin, dear friends. It shows us how sinful we are. We resist the Lord and we resist his word. But, dear friends, we must trust. This is the only word that is trustworthy. And so we can trust in the Lord. But thirdly, time is running on. Children are dependent. Children are dependent. And so must we be. Children, of course, I'll be brief with this. They are dependent on others, on their parents. They're dependent on others to feed them, to clothe them, to provide for them. They are not independent, of course. And so you also must be, if you want to draw near to the Lord. You must be dependent on the Lord and dependent on him alone. Dear friends, do we realize, whoever you are, you've always been dependent on the Lord. Many people have this idea that they have never been helped by God. You will meet people like this. I've lived many years, and they will tell you, oh, I've done this, I've done that, I've built my business, I've raised my family. God never helped me at all. They will say this to you. But actually, that's not true. God helped you every step of the way. The reason you are even alive, the reason you have health and breath and strength, it's because of the Lord. You've always been dependent upon him. You may not know it. You may not have acknowledged it. But you have always been dependent upon the Lord. He is the reason that you live and breathe. He has been so kind to you. He has helped you. So you already depend upon him. You have to realize this and cast away any foolish notion that you are independent. Like a child, you are dependent on the Lord. But we are most dependent upon the Lord in terms of salvation. The salvation of God. How do we get to heaven? How can we be made right with God? Do you depend upon yourself? Do you say, well, I'll be good enough. I can be good enough. I do good things. I give to charity. I'm always polite. I'm always nice to people. Do you depend on your own works? Independent salvation. When I stand before God, I'll be good enough. Is that you? That is so wrong. You have to be like a child. Whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. You won't be able to enter if you're depending on your own works, because your own works are not good enough. Your own works, yes, you may well have done good things in your life. We're not questioning that, but your own works have been spoiled. They've been spoiled by all of your sin, by all the times that you've lied, and by all the times that you've stolen and coveted and lusted. God has seen those things. And so all of your good works, they are worthless. They've been spoiled. They're good for nothing. And so the only way we can be saved, I depend entirely upon the Lord, entirely. He is the one, he is the only one who is good enough for God, the only one who has lived a perfect life, a life of righteousness, a life that is acceptable to God. It's only the Lord Jesus Christ who has done this. He lived a life with no sin, not an evil thought in his mind, not an evil motivation in his heart. He is the only one who is righteous, not you. God has seen your life and you have failed the test. You have to take Christ's life, believe in him. And this is the wonderful thing. When we believe in Christ, his perfect life is imputed to us, is given to us. It's like if you're trying to get into a university and the requirement is so high, but if someone passed the test for you and gave you his test mark for you to go in, that is what it's like. It's only the Lord Jesus Christ who has passed the test. His perfect righteousness, he gives it to you. Enter into heaven. It's the only way. You cannot pass the test yourself. You have to depend on another. And you also have to depend on Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. All the sins that you have committed, dear friends, you have amassed a great debt. Every sin, and we say this often, every sin in your life is like a debt to God. You cannot enter into heaven with an unpaid debt. Somebody has to pay that debt for you. So who's going to pay it? Somebody has to be punished for that sin. It's the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. He pays the price. You have amassed all that sin debt in your life. It's all laid upon the Lord Jesus. He has paid it by his blood. That's the only currency. You cannot pay this with money. You cannot pay this with good works. It's the precious blood of Christ. That's the only currency that the Lord will accept. And so this is how it is. You cannot get to heaven by yourself. You must be like a child, dependent upon the Lord, and go to the Lord saying, I am nothing. You humble yourself before God. I am nothing at all. I'm nobody important. I'm like a child in the time of the Lord Jesus, insignificant. But I come to thee, O Lord, and the Lord will receive you. He will not turn you away. So, dear friends, these are just three of the ways in which we learn what it is to approach the Lord, but as a child. But let me, as we begin to close, let me just look at those words in verse 14 again and close thinking upon these. Suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Those are wonderful words at the end of verse 14. For of such is the kingdom of God. When we think of heaven, and when we think of what we will be like in heaven, well, the Lord here, I believe, is teaching us, if you want to know what we will all be like in heaven, observe little children. Now, of course, not their sins, not the things they do wrong, but all the other characteristics that we have just mentioned. This is how we will be like. Well, we will be, of course, entirely teachable. We will be learning new and wonderful things about God every single moment we are in eternity, and we will never get bored. There will always be something new to learn about the Lord. We will be eternally teachable. We will be completely trusting in the Lord. Even as Christians, sometimes, you know, we doubt. Even Christians doubt. When we are in heaven, we will have complete trust in God. We will never doubt him. We will never question him. We will love him without condition, unceasingly. Total trust and dependence upon the Lord. We will know that we are not in heaven because of us. We will praise God. It's all because of him. We will give glory to God. We'll be like little children, trusting, entirely dependent upon the Father and upon the Son. We are here because of God. And one more heading just to add, just at the very end. I hope this has been clear to you. But one other thing you observe when you see little children is they are almost entirely carefree. They are carefree. In many ways, they live a carefree existence. They're not burdened with life's worries and troubles and concerns like we are as adults. And so often we as adults, we wish we could go back to that time when we didn't have all these troubles and all these concerns. We wish we could go back to being as little children. How can we ever go back? Dear friends, this is the only way you can go back to that way, to that time. It's by trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's by repenting and having faith in him. That's the only way we can know that time. No cares, no fears, no sorrow in heaven. No tears. That'll be different. Of course, there are tears in childhood, but even those will be taken away from us. No weight, no burden upon us. The burden of our sin has gone. It's been lifted. Christ has taken it for us. Nothing at all. Entirely carefree. Like little children. No wonder the Lord says, of such is the kingdom of God. So, dear friends, how is it with you? How is it with your soul? Are you going to receive the kingdom of God in this way? Are you going to be teachable, trusting, entirely dependent upon the Lord our God for salvation? It's the only way. It's the only way. The Lord has made it very clear. If you don't go this way, you shall not enter therein. He shall not enter therein. Dear friends, the Lord is calling you this day to receive him as a child and to trust in him completely. May the Lord bless these words to us.